I'm Gabby's Jules. Cloudy skies over West London, but it's okay because our life is happy because the Champions League is back.
Yes.
How about that? So many big games. Let's start with the one that was, on paper, the biggest of all.
Yes.
Bayern Munich against Manchester United. Now, we know we talked about United on Monday, but let's go back to this because I think there have been developments, and I'm going to focus on the fact that we got 7 goals in a game. Wasn't necessarily a great game, although there were moments of skill.
Yeah.
Neither of these two teams, I think, is doing well. I saw progress from United in some ways, which we can discuss in a minute.
Yeah.
But let's start with Bayern. Where are they?
I think that they don't know themselves where they are. I mean, Tuchel wasn't there because he was suspended. He was in one of the boxes. But on the pitch, it's still hard to see any sort of identity for this team, how they want to play. They will always do well because they've got Musiala and Sané and Kane and Gnabry and Kimmich, whatever you want. So they will, but in terms of what they do with the ball, they scored a goal yesterday that was an Onana mistake. They scored a penalty that...
Okay, generous.
Generous, let's put it that way. The Matistel goal, okay, it's in garbage time, as you always say, but it's a lovely, he takes it well.
I'll say this about the Matistel goal, if you're pointing out the mistakes, right? Joshua Kimmich, who I think people who don't like him would agree, he can pass the ball, right?
Yeah, massively.
He has an hour. I don't know if Casemiro was somewhere else or people didn't cover for him, but he has all the time in the world.
So does Tell in his run. I mean, how nobody picks the run is just crazy from United's point of view. But defensively, that's what we talk about.
The other goal was good, though.
The other goal, yeah.
The third goal.
But again, Musiala goes through, and then Gnabry has, again, same that Kimmich has on the fourth goal. Gnabry has, like, literally the whole world around him free to hit that shot. So I didn't think that Bayern were convincing enough, certainly for the players they have. They would have to do much better if they want to win this competition.
Which you can look at and say Bayern can improve and grow into the competition if Tuchel finds the right mix.
Yeah.
Now, with United, obviously so much negativity right now surrounding the club and Erik ten Hag and then whatever else for many different reasons. And you know, there's a stat, I think it's like it hadn't happened in years that they conceded 3 goals in 3 consecutive games.
78 was the last time. Okay. It's a long time ago.
On the other hand, I actually thought we often talk about managers losing the dressing room, all this stuff. I thought they came out and I saw a more rational setup with Pelistri on the right rather than this stupid diamond.
Yeah.
And the players look motivated.
Yeah.
They may not look good. The instruction may not always be good. But the players look motivated. And I think that's an important sign. Am I wearing like the Erik ten Hag like small margins glasses too much?
No. I think there was a lot of positives. I think you're right, Gab. I think at times with the ball they moved it well. You're right, the setup and going back to the 4-2-3-1 was much better for Rashford. I mean, Pelistri, we need to see him again. It was not an easy game to start, to be fair.
I don't know if it was his first appearance, but certainly his first start, right?
Yeah, definitely. But so he was good. Højlund scoring his first goal, really good. It's a good finish as well. It's a good move. So there was a lot of positives to take away from a game where we thought before, they could get punished again there. I think they were helped by the fact that Bayern are not there yet.
Bayern are a mess right now.
Yeah, they are a mess and they don't press well. So United had that. But fair play to them because they really went in and I thought instead of maybe being a bit cautious at the beginning, they went for it. And if Onana doesn't make that mistake on the first goal, by the way, we'll talk about Onana after and what happened to the great goalkeeper that he was last season. You know, if they stay a little bit longer, they might go and win this game, I think.
Yeah, and then you get into an entirely different narrative.
Yeah,
I have a United friend who is obsessed with Casemiro, who thinks Casemiro's passed it. And he cited last night's game. I mean, he's messaging me during the game and the whole time he's like, oh, Casemiro screwed this up. Casemiro screwed that up. And then Casemiro scores, you know, from the ground.
Yeah.
It does feel like, though, he does pop up in big moments and makes a difference. That's kind of what you pay for. I do wonder, if you're going to play in this way, should you have 2 guys in front of the back four rather than Casemiro on his own?
I mean, you had a bit of Eriksen. He was very much there to also help Casemiro. Yeah. Casemiro needs help anyway.
Eriksen, the little twig in his 30s with the...
Yeah, but still, like, Amrabat was signed to play there with Casemiro. The thing is, Amrabat is injured.
And so is Mason Mount.
So is Mason Mount. But Mason Mount, I don't think, can play... To make Casemiro better, can play there. I'm just looking forward to seeing Casemiro and Amrabat together and how much that will help Casemiro and United in terms of stability defensively. I just don't know when Amrabat will be ready.
I wanted to talk more about Bayern, but I know you want to get stuck into Andre Onana.
No, I fell for him yesterday, to be fair. I don't know what happened on the Sané goal. I don't know if the ball moves a bit in the air, maybe.
He took responsibility. And I want to... I know different people deal with this stuff in different ways. And, you know, sometimes people say, all right, when you screw up, you don't need to come out and say it. Everybody knows you did and whatever else, right? But I like the fact that my manager's under pressure. You know, we lost another game. I'm going to come out. And yes, I'm stating the obvious, but I'm going to take full responsibility and say I need to do better because it was my mistake. Can we give him a little bit of praise as a person?
No. Okay, yeah. It's good that he comes in front of the media and said, I'm sorry, I let the team down, which we all knew, we all saw. I mean, it still cost United the game, right?
Well, I mean, a lot of stuff happened afterwards.
No, I know, but that goal is just unacceptable at that level to consider a goal like this. So I would have rather him come in front of the media and actually giving me the reason why he hasn't been good this season. Instead of saying, like, it's difficult, I let the team down, I'm sorry. Okay, good. Well, you're here, so may as well say that. I want to know what happened. Does he feel that the defense in front of him is not good enough? Is it too easy to go through this defense and this midfield? I think it is, which means that he's left exposed. Does he feel extra pressure because the defense is not good enough in front of him? Does he hate Lindelof? I don't know. Does he think, like, you know, Reguilón is rubbish? I would have rather him saying, coming up with things like that, proper explanations.
Yeah, I do, so would I, but we also know that he's not going to go and throw his teammates under the bus. I mean, I think it's, to me, compared to last season at Inter, he had a very, very well-drilled defense.
Yeah.
And that, I think, really, really helped him. And even, you know, the reason he's there is because, or one of the reasons he's there is he's so effective. You know, it's really difficult to press Manchester United because, you know, when the ball goes back to him, it's going to come back out, not just come back out safely, but safely and with quality, right? Mm. So that makes a massive difference. I think with those defenders in front of him and the disarray further up the pitch, and it extends to Casemiro in midfield and whatever
else,
I think it's more difficult for him. That doesn't explain the mistake on the first shot, which I don't know if a weird bounce or whatever. I feel confident enough to say there isn't an Onana issue in the sense that you've committed to him, you've gone down this road, you stick with him and wait for him to get back. If he doesn't,
he's a good goalkeeper.
And David De Gea is still out there as a free agent.
Imagine.
but by the way, one other thing, because I know you want to gratuitously make fun of. I don't want Ten Hag to be the other Dutch guy. What's up with the three goalkeepers on the bench? I don't think I have ever seen that.
Me neither, never.
And, I mean, okay, one of them is new to the club, and so you want to get him used to, and then you bring Heaton because he's old. The third guy, I don't know who he is. I'm assuming he's a goalkeeper. They tell me he's a goalkeeper. But what's the point? Like, we have a 2-for-1 deal on seats on the flight to Munich? I don't get it. Why?
I don't know either.
Like, why open yourself up to any, even the slightest form of ridicule?
I know.
Which is what we're doing now. What you can say is, you know, like, I don't, can you think of a strategy? Wait.
No, I mean.
Was he going to do the Mikel Arteta thing and make tactical changes by changing goalkeepers during the game, which Arteta said he might do one day?
But Scott Carson always travels with City wherever. So yes. City have two on the bench all the time. Maybe.
There's one Scott. Yeah, I know. But this is having three on the bench.
No, I know. But
this is having three on the bench plus Onana on the pitch.
Yeah, so it's two more than, it's just one more than City do, for example. Because City have Ortega,
it's away
Carson.
From home.
No, I know. But maybe the fourth one is a kid that was playing in the youth league earlier. I don't know. And they wanted to reward him with a place on the bench because he must be really cool. You're in the dressing room. I don't know. Maybe the guy worked hard at training. He was good and said, okay, to reward you.
Then maybe Tom Heaton would have been like, hey, how about I get the night off and go and soak
him in
bath?
Tom Heaton loves it. He does all the warm up with Onana. You know, he gets involved. Tom Heaton would not want to stay home. He would rather be in Munich. For sure.
You don't think that it was Ten Hag was ready to play Onana in midfield?
Oh my God. Some said that maybe he would have been better than some players.
All right. To wrap on United, because we've talked about them, and we know what the issues are. Hoyland gets a goal.
Yeah.
Shows progress.
Yeah. Good goal.
This
again.
Is good, right?
Yeah.
More Hoyland. More Hoyland means less Martial or less Rashford through the
Martial was good when he came on. He was good.
Let's not go there.
No, but Hoyland, yeah, good. First ever Champions League match he had played before in the qualifiers with Sturmgras, but this was different. I mean, this was Munich as well, against Upamecano and Kim. It's not easy. I thought he did well on the goal is great, and you could see all the qualities that he has in the box. It was the same against Brighton. The goal didn't count, of course, but you could see his awareness. You could see that he sends it well. He finishes well. I would want him more involved even. A bit like what we saw in the cameo appearance that he had at Arsenal, where he was very available to be used to build up the play and that focus point. That will come. But I think psychologically for his confidence is brilliant to have that goal.
All right, let's go to Bayern. And I want to try to construct a little bit, and I'm going to dust off my old Tuchelismo, and construct a little bit of a Tuchel defense. But it's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
So first off, something that we often overlook is that Sven Ulreich is in goal, right?
Yeah.
They went, they bought the Israeli dude, whatever. There's a massive screw up in the summer where you go from having three really good goalkeepers to having none, to having Sven.
It's unbelievable from a club like this.
We don't know from the outside how much of that is Tuchel, how much of that is the club. Because I don't think the club are going to, you know.
How much, what is how much?
The decisions made in the summer, right? And again, what we're referring to is that at one point last summer, they had Jan Sommer and Nubel, and obviously Manuel Neuer will be back from injury someday.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, let's move Nubel, who they sent out to Stuttgart, and Sommer, who ended up joining Inter on loan. Sorry, I think the Inter deal is permanent or obligation to buy, whatever. And then they find out Neuer's actually not going to be back for a while.
Yeah.
And leaving that aside, we don't know what condition Neuer is going to be in when he's back. It could take him a long time. He's been out now for, 8-9 months?
Serious
injury. That's a screw-up. Is that... We don't know from the outside if that's on Tuchel or if that's on the club.
It doesn't matter who's that's on. It's terrible. It's terrible management. It's inexplicable, really. When a club like this, starting the competition, and I know the most important games will be in the second half of the season, and by then they hope that Neuer is back and they should qualify without him. And Ulreich made that good save on Eriksen earlier on, and nearly, okay, maybe. But still not, it's just not good enough from a Bayern Munich team that also has a lot of money, because we clearly saw the 100 million on Kane. Don't tell me they could not have found a keeper for 20 million, 30 million, even more than that. Even Onana, 50, they could have got him.
They got the Israeli guy instead, who supposedly is a very good goalkeeper, not very experienced. He's one cap for Israel. Again, probably not even the best Israeli goalkeeper in the Champions League, given what we saw from the other one.
Yeah.
But what I wonder is, when you bring him in, is there a pathway to him getting a few starts before Neuer comes back? Or
yeah, well, you would think so.
You would think so, but we haven't seen him yet.
But Dan Paris is surely a better goalkeeper than Sven Ulreich, apart from the fact that he doesn't speak German and has never played with those kind of players, which Ulreich has and has been training with them for a long time. But surely, I mean, if you sign a guy that he's not even good enough to be your number two, I mean, this defy all logic.
Okay.
And you've got Laimer at right back, by the way. Let me just...
But you know what? I'm okay with Laimer right back.
Are you? How are you? But again, how can you let Stanisic go and Pavard go and think, we've got Mazraoui, but we know what Mazraoui is like. And then who do we have after? Gab and Jules. I mean, what's going on here?
On this one, I am 1,000% with you on the Stanisic thing. This makes zero sense to me.
None at all.
I get why Pavard's gone, because Pavard's not that good. And you cash in on him and he's 28, whatever. And so it's perfect. You have Stanisic and you have Mazraoui. You have attacking fullback who gets injured. And you have Stanisic who can also attack, but is also better rounded, young player. Yeah. Well, you don't think you're going to get Stanisic enough minutes? Of course you will, right?
I know.
Because you know Mazraoui's not going to play every week. That's what I understand. So now, obviously, you got to turn to Laimer. Which is fine. The poor man.
Replace him. Stanisic and Pavago. No problem. Just get someone.
But that means spending more money. And you already have Laimer, who joined the club because he thought Nagelsmann was
going to be there. He's not right back.
You can buy him. Look, playing right back for a central midfielder is not that, is really not that difficult, right? Nah, but anyway, he showed it's an option, right? It's a bit, I'd rather have him there than Kimmich, because if Kimmich is there, he's not playing in midfield.
Yeah, right? Oh yeah, for sure.
I want to get to Musiala because you know my feelings on this. I think Bayern's future is Musiala. I think everything needs to be done to put Musiala in the position where he exacts the most damage on the opposition.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I thought this was a good performance from him.
Yeah.
I'm still shocked by how much criticism he still gets. He holds the ball too much. He dribbles too much. He does this too much. He does that too much. Why can't we just let this guy grow?
I don't know. It's a good question, Gab. I share your view. I don't understand the criticism. Maybe the expectations are so high because he is that good. And maybe he would gain at simplifying a little bit his game at times, which is true, because even the goal of Gnabry, he can easily lose. He gets a bit lucky when he turns and Dalot touches the ball and he gets the rebound and then crosses the ball for Gnabry. But if that ball goes out for a goal kick, everybody moans on Musiala because there was better options before he goes on to that run, which is true.
I think what you have here is somebody who is given enormous responsibility in that attacking midfield role. At a super, super young age, at a really, really big team. I mean, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think, other than Gavi, maybe, if you want to make a comparison, although, you know, Gavi's often wide or whatever, I don't see players at that age starting and being given all that responsibility on teams of that magnitude, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Think of great number 10s. Oh, gee, you know, what was Kevin De Bruyne doing when he was his age? Well, he was not playing for Chelsea. Or before that, you know, he was a winger, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You get recycled wingers or they're eased in. It doesn't happen that young. I think
that's true.
I think if you're Tuchel, or if you're Bayern, you should be telling Tuchel, Tommy, listen, for better or worse, we're committed to you. Let's build something here. And let's build around Musiala. Oh, and one more thing about the Mac.
So good.
Matthijs de Ligt. Again, you invest all this money, and now you dump the guy on the bench.
But Kim and Upamecano are doing well,
right? But you're still also this. This is the guy
he would play a bit. He comes on to play number 6-9 again. So you know, like.
And up front, how do we judge the Harry Kane experiment so far?
I thought it was really interesting his post-match interview when he said, you know, we need a bit more time, and in some time when we will get more used to each other, more connection. He will be better, which is obviously true. But in the sense that he's got 5 in 5. He hasn't been great against Bayer Leverkusen on Friday last week. He scored the goal early and after that had that big chance missed. But apart from that, so all the involvement that you saw at Spurs, I think forget about that now, especially when Musiala plays as a 10.
Which there is a point that we talked about when he signed.
Exactly.
Right?
There won't be any more Kane dropping, Kane playing as a 10 and as a 9. That won't happen. There's no space. There's no need for him to do that when you've got Musiala in there. And again, maybe he needed to do it at Spurs. Maybe he loves doing it, even for England. But at Bayern, there's the players around him are so good that they don't need it. They want him to do that. They want him in the box to finish. Which means that instead of touching 50 times the ball, let's say, he will only touch it 15 times now. He will be less involved. So, for example, there's a counter-attack when Sané gives him the ball on the right in the second half and the ball is a little bit overhit and he still hit it and Onana said it's a corner. But before that, he could have been the one in the Sané boots feeding Son or feeding Kulusevski or whoever. So now, even for his game, it's different. That's why I think we need to give him a bit more time. As long as he scores, he will be okay. But it's a very different role for him.
I think that's a great point. It's a different role, especially, let's not forget, this is somebody who's been in Germany for, what, a month?
Yeah.
This is somebody who, you know, had spent the last 10 years at the same club. I'm a big believer that you have to invest time and resources in your biggest assets, like Musiala, because he's young and he's your future, and like Harry Kane, because he's costing you an enormous amount of money. So if this is how they want to use him, and I have no issue with him, you know, just being the guy who finishes, because he can do that, and maybe it also saves his legs a little bit from having to run around. But that will necessarily take time. That will take time. And, you know, Tuchel's got to get the results while he works on this chemistry. And I don't think we're there yet. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough Bayern. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Barcelona demolished Antwerp 5-0, and Joao Felix once again is on fire. Jules, another chance for us to ask, were we wrong about him, or are Antwerp and Mark van Bommel just not that good?
I mean, yeah, Antwerp are not good. We knew that. They were very naive. I think they thought, hey, lovely stadium. It's quite warm here. Not like in Belgium. Let's, you know, it's not raining. Let's go and have some fun. Let's try to play. Oh, by the time they opened their eyes, they were 3-0 down and they were getting absolutely battered. This game could have finished 10-0, which, by the way, would not have been good for the Champions League image overall. But hey, it's one for another time on those smaller teams. Joao Felix was outstanding again against that kind of opposition. It's not too difficult, I think, for him. But finding his feet really good. And I think even more importantly, Gundogan was back for this game. He was not there for the Betis 5-0 win. And I think it's always going to be interesting, I think, to see now how Joao Felix plays with Gundogan being the closest to Lewandowski. Joao Felix on that left half space we mentioned. And then Rafinha really wide on the right. I love that setup with Gavi behind and De Jong. Let's see how they play against tougher games. But I thought collectively, they looked really outstanding.
Yeah, they looked really good. I was still curious about how the pieces fit together and whether it can last, but so far, so good.
Yeah, Arsenal beat up PSV Eindhoven 4-0 on their return to the Champions League. After 7 seasons, Gab, are they contenders or just going to say that Peter Bosch is Peter Bosch and doing Peter Bosch things?
So that first half, I mean, was it the second or the third goal where the guy, where literally the entire PSV team are in the Arsenal.
Yes, third one, the Trossard assist for double juice.
Center back heads the ball like straight up into the air to nobody. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way. But yeah, no, I think Arsenal out really, really outclassed them. So impressed with Trossard. So impressed with Martin Odegaard, of course. Really impressed. I mean, Gabriel Jesus could have had a couple more goals, whatever.
Yeah,
it's different. Look, he plays a position.
Two good saves to deny it.
I'd obviously, Arsenal kind of packed it in the second half and thought ahead to the North London Derby. Nothing wrong with that. I think they look really good. I think for them to get substantially better, we need to see Kai Havertz. And
I thought it was good yesterday, I won't lie.
No, we need to see Kai Havertz playing to his wages and his fee. I don't mean...
What does that mean?
Kai Havertz
playing
to his wages and his fee, which yes. I don't think he's done yet.
But that, so what? If you expect him to score 3 goals every game, that's not going to happen. This is a different role.
If he could
role.
Score 3 goals, he'd be making a lot more money.
Maybe. But this is also a different role, I think, that Arteta is asking him. Yesterday, I saw him, he ran the most in the Arsenal team apart from Odegaard. He was everywhere. He was pressing. The counter-pressing, what he brings like that is, I think he's very valuable.
Right. But I'm saying is he can get even better and Arsenal can get even better.
Yeah, yeah.
It's as simple as that. And I also think, again, Gabriel Jesus, I think it's not just the goals. I know he gives you a lot of other stuff. I think there's still some ring rust there, which, you know, will go
first
away.
First start of the season it was for him, yes.
Yeah, and I thought that was important. David Raya in goal.
Again.
Hey. This is a can of worms. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
Manchester City somehow take 22 shots on goal in the first half, but find themselves a goal down at home to Red Star Belgrade. Jules, I have never seen anything like it. Fortunately for Pep, they turn it around after the break.
Yeah, that was incredible. The Bukari goal just before halftime on the only time Red Star touched the ball in the city box, even the only shot they had. I don't think he was never in doubt that I think City would come back. What was really good, I thought, again, like they did at West Ham at the weekend, is that they scored straight after the break coming on. So you don't even have time to think, okay, you know, we need to score. There's not even any pressure because you're 1-1 by the time Red Star had hardly touched the ball in the second half. So yeah, it's good. And again, Julian Alvarez was outstanding. That first goal, the 1-2 with Haaland, and the finish around the keeper was amazing. And we saw Haaland missing a lot of chances again.
Yeah.
Again, like against West Ham and Sheffield United.
Haaland doesn't have his shooting boots on right now. That's obvious. Yeah. Although I thought, I know Alvarez gets all the praise, but the return from amazing, the 1-2 was from Haaland, I thought was really, was really, really
right.
good.
You're right. Ivan Provedel is the hero for Lazio at the snatch last-ditch equaliser against Atletico de Madrid. Gab, always special when a goalkeeper scores.
And he's done this before.
What a great header.
And yeah, I mean, this was a striker's goal. This wasn't like big, lumpy keeper. It was tremendous. By the way, Atletico Madrid played Lazio off the park. You want a response after getting humiliated in La Liga? We need to really give a shout out. Atleti dominated. But in the end, Lazio get that equalizer. I don't know if you're Cholo. How do you miss the large blonde man dressed in like day-glow yellow who's running through the middle of the box? You wonder a little bit about that. That would make me seethe a little bit. But tremendous form. He did it for Juve Stabia many years ago.
Yes, I saw that.
I'll tell you what, that guy, cool as an iceberg.
I know. Even the celebration, it was just like, you know.
Hey, act like you've been there before, because he's been there before. Paris Saint-Germain beat Borussia Dortmund 2-0. Jules, no fallout from that Nice defeat.
Oh, that was good. I mean, Dortmund are bad. They're a bad team. They were so disappointing.
Can you tell me, what's with the back three?
I know, but what was the whole plan? What was the whole thing?
You didn't like the whole Malin thingy in attack? Like, oh,
no, I understand the pace, but then if you don't use it, they could not even... Every time they got the ball, and to be fair, PSG's counter-press was really efficient and really good. And that Luis Enrique was very happy after the game. He told the players as well. So that on the pitch side worked. However, you don't need, if your plan is really to use all that space in behind the PSG's backline, like we saw Nice doing really well at the weekend, you don't need to, when you get the ball back, to just do a few passes before, just play long, but nicely, you know, playing well long towards Adeyemi and Malen. Instead, they had the ball, they were trying to maybe do a couple of 3-4 passes before and then playing long, and they would lose the ball straight away. It was so hard to understand. I was so disappointed by Dortmund and Terzic, but so happy about what PSG did collectively in midfield. Vitinha and Zaire Emery were outstanding. And at times, it didn't really click the front three. They still need to play with each other to really understand everybody's movement. But Hakimi was great, scored a lovely goal, and it was a very, very positive, convincing win from Paris.
Yeah, I it felt to me like Dortmund were like, oh, this is a free hit because we're going to lose this game, so let's go and try something different.
They only played in the last 10 minutes or so. Yeah. It's strange. Newcastle United somehow, Gabby, hold Milan to a 0-0 draw at the San Siro as well. Two points dropped for Milan?
100%. Wow. Milan absolutely dominated this game. I think their XG at the end of the first half was like
especially the first half
or something. Nick Pope made some very good, made some excellent saves. I think a lot of it was some poor finishing for Milan. But you know what? I like to look at performance. And after that soul-crushing derby defeat, to see the players come out and play like this, I think is really encouraging for Stefano Pioli. And I think you take this, you move on, and you build on it.
For Newcastle. I mean, Eddie Howe said it was an even game, but Milan had more chances. We can't be even if they have more chances than you. This is not.
See, sometimes that guy, I don't understand. And by the way, watching, and they said there was a whole stint in the second half where Alexander Isak was playing on the left wing.
Yeah.
Well, coming up against and just never tracking back and just getting beaten time and time again. Like, why are you putting him in that position? I know he's done that a little bit before.
Yeah, he did it last season as well. When Wilson was. If you want to play them both,
then play two up front the way God intended. Or then keep the ball and play further up the pitch and say, I'm going to create a mismatch with Isak. Because if you're going to play that way, you're going to have to track back, my son, Alexander. Sam Mann again. Jude Bellingham gives Real Madrid a 1-0 win over Union Berlin with a buzzer beater. Jules, this was a close call for Carletto.
So if you look at if Indeed, Gab, when you go into the 95th minute, it was a fourth minute, 0-0 against Union Berlin at the Bernabeu, you're not happy. If you look at the performance, and they were Tchouaméni and Kamavinga didn't have a good game, but Joselu could have had four goals easily. They hit the woodwork twice. So they could easily still have won that game 4-0, for example. But you got a bit touchy towards the end, and Jude the savior. Again, like we saw so many times against Getafe, against Celta Vigo.
He scored every game but one this season.
Yeah, the only one he hasn't scored was the last one against Real Sociedad. Although this, and I've said that to you before, this was not a good game from Bellingham. Yeah, he scores the winner and all we talk about is that winner. But overall in that game, I don't think he was great. So he would be even better when his all-around game, not just the goal-scoring side of it, is improving. But all they would care about now is that...
I thought you were going to go on and on about Modric's techers for that pass with the outside of his boot, like when he hit last year.
Yeah, that was still beautiful. He still got it, of course, even at 37. Real Sociedad and Inter battled to a 1-1 draw, but Gab, if wins were awarded on points, like in gymnastics, sometimes in boxing, who would have won this? I think we both know.
1,000% Real Sociedad.
They were so good in that first half, especially.
Look, Inter made five changes after the derby. But
why? Why is Inzaghi not going with his strongest team?
Because he rotates. He says it's a squad
game.
That
was crazy.
This is how I empower other people. Poor Aslani. I hope his confidence doesn't drop, but he had a really rough time. And he said, we're going to put a team out there. We know they're going to press as high. There's no team that presses in Europe with the intensity of Real Sociedad in terms of fastest per defensive action and so on.
Yeah.
So we're going to play possession and we're going to play through them. They couldn't do that. Real Sociedad, way too good. Thankfully, San Lautaro at the end, digging it out.
Yeah. Alex Sanchez assist.
Inter very, very lucky about this. And also, first game in the Champions League, while I understand your rotation, please play Marcus Thuram. He can't be that tired that he needs the rest.
I agree.
Not official yet, but Bild are reporting that Julian Nagelsmann will coach Germany, and it's just about a done deal, Jules.
Bien, that would get us excited because we are very curious to see how that goes for someone who's so...
Meticulous,
especially on the training pitch on what he wants from the team, to not have those players every day because that's what you do as a national team head coach. It's only 10 days every month and then nothing between November and March. It would be difficult maybe to implement his ideas. So good luck to him. As we saw against France, this is still a team that is better than what they've done in the last 18 months, let's say. So good luck to him, but it's a big, big job. Big job.
I think the way he's approaching this is, okay, it's all about the Euros. I'm going to go in. I'll get 3 weeks with the players before the Euros. Anything can happen in the Euros. I'm going to show that I can win the Euros, and then I'm going to move on to another job because I don't think this is what he likes doing.
Yeah, you're right.
Euros at home.
Yeah. Napoli get 3 points away at Braga thanks to a dramatic late own goal by Niakate. Gab, is that a fair result?
So if you break it down to chances, Napoli had several chances in the first half.
Yeah.
If you look at the way things went late in the game, I thought Braga definitely deserve something out of this, maybe even 3 points. We saw some improvements from Napoli. It was really encouraging from Napoli when Di Lorenzo scored at the end of the first half. And this is what a good captain does. He basically got all the players to run to the bench and embrace your boy Rudy Garcia, who's been under a lot of fire. But Rahmani now injured as well. We had a Nathan sighting late in the game, which is good since he's supposedly Kim's replacement. You take the win and move on, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah.
Lons may be stinking it up in Ligue 1, but they get a huge point away to Sevilla.
Yeah.
Your boy, Joseph Hurlian,
must
be happy. What about the guy who scored the free kick?
Oh, Fulgini.
No, what's his first name?
Angelo.
Angelo Fulgini. He's one of ours.
He's not at all.
He should be one of ours.
He is, but he deserves
to be one of ours.
Yeah, but he's not. Definitely not. But great free kick, considering the weekend against Metz, all his set pieces were dreadful. Glad I put that one. And to be fair, I think Lens, apart from the first 15 minutes where Sevilla scored the Ocampos goal, and then Lens, because in this starting 11 at Lens, only Mendy, the former Leicester midfielder, had played in the Champions League before. That was one game, Papi. Just one game.
Right.
So the lack of experience, I think, showed in the first 15 minutes. But after that, they were great. They were the better team. They should have won that game. And Gilavogi had a big header at the end, saved by Dimitrovic. So well done to them. This is the turning point in the season. And Joseph was very happy. Tottenham Hotspur chairman Daniel Levy, speaking to a fans forum, is asked whether there was a bike buyback clause inserted in the Harry Kane deal to Bayern Munich. And he replied, of course. What does that mean? When is he coming back?
I don't know. It's so weird. And then you say it. It's one of those secret, if it exists, it's apparently one of those secret buyback deals we don't know. What we do know, he's got a contract until 2027. So it had better be a quick buyback because it's not a very long contract. It's been suggested, report, nobody's commenting on this. The rumor is that it's actually more of a, if they do sell him to Premier League teams, they have a right of first refusal. But it's not there's no fixed fee.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume you'd have a right of first refusal anyway. So
it's not really a buyback clause.
No, nonsense. Leipzig get the 3 points away to Young Boys in a 3-1 win. But Jules, I want to get your take on the Xavi Simons incident. Oh. Frank Leboeuf said 1,000% it was a dive.
I don't think it was a dive.
Was it a penalty?
So there's definitely contact between the leg of the keeper and the foot of Xavi Simons. I think that once Simons feels the contact, I think he goes down. So he goes down maybe easily. Marco Rose was like, how? Why? Like what?
I think he left his leg in there.
I think.
Knowing there was going to be contact.
Yeah, I think he knew. So maybe it was the right call. Porto also in 3-1 away to Shakhtar Donetsk in Hamburg. Gab, they're already well-placed to get out of the group, aren't they?
They are. All the goals coming early in this one. Donetsk on the second goal, the most horrendous defending I've ever seen, where the guy's almost in midfield and he almost passes the ball in front of his back four.
Why?
Galeno getting the two goals. Meritaremi.
Yeah.
Good thing he stuck around. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules. Arne Slot's Feyenoord start with the victory as well, though it helped them that Celtic had two guys sent off, Jules.
Yeah, two guys sent off. I mean, I don't think there's much of a complaint. The first one is the second yellow when the centre-back like kind of elbows the Feyenoord striker in the face, Pachao, and then he misses the penalty, by the way. There is a penalty given. The second one, Holm is just a stupid tackle. You get excited, you just come on in the Champions League. They should know better. You know, I know this is a young team for some of them and a lot of them are discovering the Champions League. We've said that before. The lack of experience can be a bit of a burden. But don't do things like that, man. You're letting your team down. You make it difficult. But to be fair, in the first half, away from home, Celtic did well against a Feyenoord team that has been scoring for fun, who's not as good, I think, as the Feyenoord team from last season, but still has good players. And then Calvin Steng scored that free kick where I think Joe Hart should do better. And then the second half is a write-off because of the standing off.
Feyenoord, some big players missing as well. Yeah, I should say that. But I'm excited because Arne Slot turned down opportunities elsewhere to stick with his team.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
love that.
And the atmosphere was exceptional.
I'll be rooting for Arne Slot.
Yeah, me too. Gab, I know you were excited to see Galatasaray and their stars of yesteryear. You must have been delighted with their comeback against Copenhagen.
I did. Just a reminder, you got to see Maurito Icardi, Hakim Ziyech, Dries Mertens, Lucas Torreira, Wilfried Zaha coming off.
Yeah.
And Sergio Oliveira, not such a big fan of. They went two goals down. There's so much pressure in Gala. Gala is fun when they're in the competition. When they're out of the competition, it was the first three games, not fun at all. But they came back into it, showed a lot of heart. Boy, tremendous goal in minute 86 and Tete minute 88. And I think they were planning on 3 points because, with all due respect, it's Copenhagen. And they have the wrong Hoylands.
But, I mean, one came on. You know, so.
Yeah, but the good ones in Manchester.
For sure.
But still, I think the fight back matters. Benfica beaten at home by Salzburg 2-0 in what is to be a bit of a shock, Jules. At least it was to me. But do you have sympathy for the home side given the early red card for Antonio
Absolutely
Silva?
Absolutely not. What was that, Antonio Silva?
What do you mean? He's on the goal line. It's instinctive.
Are you kidding me? So the ball is looping, if you like. It's a shot. It's a weird shot. Kind of blocked, deflected by the tackle from a Benfica defender. And the ball goes up, bounces off in front of the goal, goes up again, hit the crossbar. And Antonio Silva doesn't judge that trajectory well in the first place because he clearly thinks that either he can get a header on the ball over the bar or that the ball was going to go over the bar instead of hitting the bar. And then when he's coming down after hitting the bar, he literally plays volleyball with his hands. So Simic doesn't score in front of goal on his own. I mean, it's completely stupid. And then you let your team down. It's just a one match ban. I mean, he might not get a ban, to be fair.
But they had to give it because it's a denial of goal scoring opportunity 100%. In the box.
He's such a good young player. It's completely stupid. So no, I've got no sympathy. Oscar Gluck, by the way, scored the second goal for Salzburg at 19 years old. So promising, the Israeli number 10. So sorry, Benfica.
We're not going to talk about Dario Simic's son.
Well, he scored and he got an assist because he scored the penalty.
I would have thought Dario Simic's son would have been older.
And shorter as well. The man must be really tall, you know. But I don't know the man. Chelsea have secured a $500 million investment from Ares, and the guy brokering the deal, Gabby, is a friend of the Gab and Jules show.
We had him on Gab and Jules Meets. Exactly. Yes, that's right. It's Mike Ford, and Ares putting out in their press release that they didn't know who Mike Ford was until they heard him on the Gab and Jules.
Of course.
Just kidding. Look, so this money is going to be used for the stadium, apparently. I mean, I think it was Mark Ogden breaking that story for us. What I find it's interesting is Jose Feliciano, who is the other big shot at Clear Lake, the one that, you know,
Nobody talks about
because they always talk about Todd Boehly and to a lesser degree Iqbali. He says they need to. Their goal is to cut $100 million a year in operating expenses.
That's a lot.
Operating expenses basically means wages, right? Because they make 80-85% or even higher. That is a lot. That's not easy to do. And so you want to do that while also increasing revenue, which is why they're looking at the new stadium. That's not going to come online for a number of years. I think that just kind of shows you that there is still a long, long way to go. But props to Feliciano for being honest and open about this.
Yeah.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you're going to love this, spoke at length to The Athletic about his time as Manchester United manager.
Aww.
He revealed that two players turned down the captain's armband.
Yeah.
Of course, he doesn't say who it is, but you know what? Could it have something to do maybe with their trust in their manager at the time?
Yeah.
And he identified three players he wanted to sign but couldn't. Erling Haaland, Declan Rice, and Jude Bellingham.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Jules, is there an alternative universe where Solskjaer signs all three of them and they're top of the table right now?
No, he's still a bad manager. I mean, come on. Erling Haaland, Declan Rice. He talked about Moises Caicedo as well and saying, like, I thought of him. Like, suddenly this guy is becoming a mix of Monchi and, you know, like, all the top sports nights.
If you had Rice and Bellingham in midfield and you had Haaland up front, you don't think United, they might not be top of the table. Well, they might be because Haaland wouldn't be playing for City and Rice wouldn't be playing for Arsenal. They'd be much closer, right?
But there's a reason why they didn't go there. There's a reason why they're good.
They met the manager.
Haaland is literally Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, either a cousin or neighbor. They all know each other in Norway. And even that was not enough to get him at United.
It might actually be why he didn't go to United.
Exactly. There's a reason, Ole Gunnar, if they didn't come to you as a manager.
I love this because we saw it with him. We saw it with Rangnick. We see it with Mourinho all the time. All these stories after somebody leaves is like,
So
I wanted to sign so-and-so when he was 18. But
I failed because I could not sign.
You never hear about all the really crappy players
that you wanted to sign and then you signed.
But the ones that they signed, we know it. But the ones that you couldn't sign because the club said, no, this is stupid.
It's a bad idea.
Let's not do this. Come on, man.
The Premier League are meeting as we record the show on Thursday morning, Gab. And according to the Daily Mail, clubs will voice concerns over the 777 partners taking over Everton.
Yeah, and I'm kind of surprised that clubs have kind of let it be known indirectly that saying we're not sure about these guys coming in doing it so openly. You say there's concerns about sources of funding, of reputational damage, their ability to raise money. The interesting thing here is that this isn't, you know how in the NFL, if somebody buys, like, let's say you buy a club, the existing owners have to sit and they vote.
Yeah, they
want Jules as an owner. It doesn't work that way in the Premier League. The clubs don't get to vote on a new owner.
No, there's no veto.
Yeah, it's the league that decided. You know, majority of clubs were obviously against, for example, Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia buying Newcastle, but Premier League eventually okayed it. Interesting to see what the Premier League do, because I think there's a different set of concerns here that some of these guys might have with 777. What seemed obvious to me is they're pretty adamant. They don't want them in the league, for them to come out so strongly. And they're going to have to present evidence of why.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, whatever they present, if they present it, it's going to get leaked. If they don't present the evidence, if they say, we don't want 777 because Josh Wander stinks and, you know, those are unlucky numbers or whatever, then the Premier League should approve it, I think.
Yeah.
Right? You have to come with an argument if you can object.
Definitely.
Jules, I have no idea how many Young Boys Burn fans there are in France, but there must be some, right? Can you tell us why they can't watch their team in the Champions League this year on television?
Yes, so there's two things you can't advertise on French television. One is alcohol, so you can't have anything about alcohol, not even on your T-shirt or your football shirt.
Presumably you can advertise tobacco. No? Or no, you can't advertise that either.
No, tobacco neither.
Marijuana, CBD?
Neither.
No. Organ trade?
No. Neither.
Kidneys? No.
No. And gambling either. So if your shirt sponsor is gambling, it's the same. Remember when Atalanta
Atalanta also had plus 500.
Yeah, so Atalanta's game were not showed last season in the Champions League, or the season before maybe, on French television, for the same reason. So it's not so much Young Boys, because I can reveal your secret, there's not many Young Boys fans in France. However, it's whoever they face, and at some point they will face Manchester City and RB Leipzig, and those teams have fans in France that won't be able to watch them.
But is it gambling, or is it concern specifically? Because surely there must be. I mean, Milan and Real Madrid, Milan were sponsored by bwin for a number of years and stuff like that.
Not since Dan Law was in, I think.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it was that particular sponsor as well that was a problem.
I think it's to do with plus 500 and kind of the way they're viewed in the kind of non-traditional.
Yeah, that could be it. More from the Premier League meeting today, Gab. They're going to talk about getting even more games on television.
Yeah, so there's two big things. One is they're also going to move rather from three-year contracts to four-year contracts from 25-26.
Yeah, for the TV rights, yeah.
Which is interesting, because for years they told us, we're so smart, we're doing three-year contracts because they keep going up. Well, now that they don't go up anymore,
exactly,
at least domestically, they're going with longer contracts, which I guess makes sense. They want to televise every single game outside of the blackout. For those who don't know, between 2:45 and 5:15 p.m., it's not allowed for any broadcaster to broadcast live football in this country, even if it's football from abroad. The thinking being is you do it to go and protect attendances lower down the pyramid and grassroots games and whatever. I'm okay with this if it means, like, this weekend, because of the Europa League and whatnot, there's a million games on Sunday at 2 o'clock that aren't on
television. There's only three at 3 p.m., I think, on Saturday. Only three.
Okay. So I'm okay if you televise those games. If you start messing around with kickoff times and it means we then, you know, we have games at noon, at 2 o'clock, at 4 o'clock, at 6 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, like La Liga, I don't like that.
Yeah.
These other games should be on television. There's no reason, because they're not hurting lower league attendances. There's nobody going to watch Kidderminster Harriers against.
They don't play on the Sunday anyway.
Yeah, they don't play on Sunday, so it doesn't matter. But they really should be careful with the kickoff times.
I know.
Several outlets are reporting that Manchester United are concerned that Erik ten Hag's agent, Kees Vos, is becoming too influential at the club. His agency, Sports Entertainment Group, were involved in a number of United transfers this summer, including Sofyan Amrabat and Rasmus Højlund. Oh, and Ten Hag's son, Nigel, happens to work there. Jules, is this a thing?
Yeah, it is. I remember you saying, quote, maybe a year ago or two, that managers should have agents who don't represent any players. You don't have any conflict of interest that we've seen happening for years and years and would keep happening, where Christophe Galtier, for example, whose son is an agent. Hey, that ends up signing the players that his son represents. Or in this case as well, Ten Hag's son saying, hey, what about Rasmus Højlund or Sofyan Amrabat? And I don't think it's a good look for you as a manager. I don't think it should happen because that conflict of interest is very, very common. It's not just Ten Hag, and we're not just speaking on Ten Hag here. Because I mentioned Galtier, we could have mentioned other names where the agent is also...
We didn't even mention Jose Mourinho.
And Jose Mourinho, of course. So, you know, Georges Mendes, a lot of them do it, and that's wrong.
I'd like to see a practice where if you are the manager or director of football of a football club, some of them have agents too, you can't deal with the club cannot deal with the agency that represents you. And what we're talking about here, by the way, is just protecting the appearance of impropriety, right? It's not like they, especially when they get involved as intermediaries, which is what often happens. It's not even like they have to represent the same player, and his son works there. It's just not a good look for a club. There's no suggestion of impropriety, and you know, a sports entertainment group would say, like, we have 600 clients around Europe.
This is true. Yeah.
Which is true, right? But I'm thinking from United's perspective, it shouldn't be difficult. Or even if you just to save face, you say, hey, Eric, you know, you signed the contract with Erik ten Hag and get Sports Entertainment Group. Once he's there, you say, Eric, while you're manager here, you can't be involved with any agent who also represents players.
Yeah.
Get some other dude, right? You don't really need an agent when you're employed anyway, right?
That's right.
At least that's how I would do things.
Yeah.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Jose Mourinho had this to say before Roma's Europa League game against Sheriff Tiraspol. I open the quotes. I will keep saying that until my final day as a manager. We did not lose the Europa League final against Sevilla. We did not lose that final in Budapest, and I won't change my mind. End of the quotes. Gav, come on, please. Tell him to let it go.
Well, he's correct.
Yeah, technically.
It finished in a draw.
Yeah, I give him that.
I'm sure that's what he means. I'm sure he's not complaining about the referee. He's not complaining about Anthony Taylor. No, I'm sure that's what he's talking about, right?
Come on.
I'm at a loss. Ivan Perisic suffered a cruciate injury and will likely be out for the rest of the season.
Bless him.
How big a blow is this for our boy, Ange Postecoglou?
So he's not a starter anymore. Okay, Udogu, Destiny has done great. And the way Ange wants to play, he needs a left back. He can't have Perisic, I think, doing that at his age.
He's more of a he's a winger.
Yeah,
he can do a wing back job more than a wing back.
Yeah,
can do a left back job.
So in terms of wingers, proper wingers, you've got what you need. I think you might miss him for the experience, for cameo appearances like we saw, for example, against Sheffield United, where he comes on, great delivery on the corner, and Richarlison scores the header to go 1-1. So on that, he's still a great set-piece taker. Madison is already there too for that. But still, I think you're going to lose some experience, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, and I think the mental toughness, and like I think we often overrate...
He's a great player to have around.
We often overrate this whole like winners thing, but he's been part of successful clubs. There aren't too many...
That's very true.
There aren't too many Spurs players who have that track record.
Yeah. Vincenzo Montella is expected to be named as coach of the Turkish national team. Gav is a good choice?
So this is a weird one because there was a time many years ago when people thought, whoa, Vincenzo Montella, you know, he's going places. And then he had this horrendous streak where, you know, I don't think he's been good since his stint at Sampdoria in 2015-16, obviously. Didn't work out at Milan, didn't work out at Sevilla, didn't work out at Fiorentina. He surfaces at Adana Demirspor, mid-table his first year, fourth place last year. I wish him good luck because he's a genuinely nice guy.
He's a lovely guy.
He likes attacking football, doesn't always find a way to play it. Turkey job, ton of pressure, not easy, but they do have some interesting young talents coming through. So, see how he does.
Yeah.
We love AI on this show.
Of course.
So when beIN Sport asked ChatGPT for an all-time 11, this is what ChatGPT came up with, right? Lev Yashin in goal.
Wow.
Cafu and Roberto Carlos as your fullbacks.
Yeah.
Paolo Maldini and Franz Beckenbauer as your central defenders. Midfield anchored by Xavi with Zinedine Zidane and Diego Maradona.
Wow.
And then up front, Cristiano, Pelé, and Lionel Messi. Jules, looking at this lineup, are jobs under threat from machines?
I don't know if they are, but that was pretty cool. Pretty impressive. I mean, I know if you type like best right back in the history of the game, there's a lot of chance that Cafu will come up. Same with Roberto Carlos. So you could see where this is coming from. If you had said, you know, who has the highest, give me the team with the highest expected goals in the championship last season, ChatGPT would not be good for that. However, for this, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, look, what struck me is this is exactly kind of the sort of team I would have expected ChatGPT to come up with.
Yeah.
Because all it does, we call it artificial intelligence. It's not artificial intelligence. It's machine learning, right?
Yeah.
They trawl an enormous amount of information on the internet, and they kind of sort of guess what the answer is based on that. And yeah, these are the names that you would probably expect. The one guy who I always have a lot of fun with is Yashin, because obviously
he's the only goalkeeper who won the Ballon d'Or, so he might not be the greatest goalkeeper of all time.
I'm wondering if that's what it is, because look, with all due respect, there were many great people in the past who we've never seen play.
Yeah.
There's very little footage of them. But yeah, what sets Yashin apart? He won the Ballon d'Or.
Exactly.
Which was voted on by a bunch of people who also never saw him play, but, you know, live by reputation, but whatever. My friend Jonathan Wilson were here. He told me that Tiger Coleman was a better goalkeeper than Yashin.
That is bold. Gab, who is Matko Milijevic, please, and why are we talking about him?
So I had no idea who this dude was, but so basically he's... He's a U.S. Argentine guy. He plays for Montreal. He's played for Argentina under 20 and for the U.S. under 20s. So he can't be a bad footballer.
Yeah, clearly.
Right?
Like, yeah, promising.
He played for Montreal in MLS, but they canceled his contract reportedly because he played in a Quebec indoor league under a fake name in his spare time. Yeah, like seven aside, I guess, indoor. And that league, then he got into a fight in a game and he punched an opponent in the face. And so that league banned him. And so Montreal kind of guys found out, hey, Matko's been playing in this league. This violates his contract. This gives us reason to cancel.
What would you do with that? You're a professional footballer. You play in MLS. It's a serious league. It's a big thing. What, you thought you could go there, wear a bandana? You said to me you wore a bandana, and then nobody is going to recognize you, and that's it.
To be fair, would you recognize Matko?
If you're a Real fan, of course you would. He said, like, hey, and I guess he would have been much better than any of the other players that he faced in that league.
Possibly, yeah. No, I think he was very good playing in that game. I like the idea. I like the idea of people playing pickup games in their spare time.
On holidays, maybe. We saw Osimhen do that when he was back in Nigeria this summer. I get that. Not during your season.
Okay, I'm also guessing they canceled his contract because he wasn't particularly good. He didn't play a pretty big role for Montreal. I do kind of think it's a bit of a... I don't know. It's kind of a no... I like the gimmick. I like the idea. You know, officially, if you're Montreal, I can't name a single player they have. I'm sure they have players that I've heard of. I don't follow MLS that closely to know about this because Messi doesn't play for Montreal. I had to shoehorn Messi into the show.
Of course.
But I don't know. Why not turn this publicity into something else? Why not ride it? Why not use it in a Dodger game? Like the grumps are like, oh, you went and you played football for fun. Now, admittedly, I guess it's because he punched somebody in the face.
Yeah, that's not good either.
I hope that ban doesn't stick with him. I hope he gets it. He gets
why? He can go to that league, back to that indoor league now.
No, he's been banned for life by the
from
indoor
that,
league.
From that and from a minute. He lost everything. Oh, my God. I mean, like, come on.
Well, he's a free agent, and I think he plays on the right wing. So, you know, until Anthony sorts himself out, maybe
that's
he can,
a good idea.
You know.
Yeah. maybe Ten Hag's son can do that deal.
Yeah, maybe he can give SEG and Nigel Ten Hag a call.
Nigel can't be his real name, surely.
Nigel. Who calls your son Nigel? I mean, seriously. Like, if you're a family name.
Nigel.
But you're Dutch, right?
I know, exactly.
So, like, I thought Nigel de Jong.
Yeah, I know, maybe but, like, still.
Maybe he named it for Nigel de Jong. Nigel de Jong was pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I take it back about Nigel.
Okay, still.
21 of the 23 players called up have agreed to end their boycott of the Spanish national women's team and will play tomorrow night in the Nations League. Jules, this is good news, right?
It's better, Gab. It's better. They found an agreement at like 4 a.m. in the morning or 5 a.m., something like that, after long discussions with the Spanish FA on what the players want to see change, not just Vilda and Rubiales out, but also the setup, the structure we've mentioned now on Monday show.
But they want people removed.
And people, yeah, some people removed too. Yeah. But even, you know, like a bigger staff, like loads of things that they should not need to ask, really. So, well done. I'm glad that in the end there was a consensus and that they can go and play again, be happy. This is the world champions. This is an amazing team, squad, with even great depth too. So they should be really looking forward to the next few years because they can literally dominate, win the Olympics, go in the Euros, all of that. So, you know.
Mappy and Patrick still not there. Are they ever coming back? They're never going
to
come back.
I don't think so. Or much more need to be done for them to come back. As reports that WWE wants Cristiano Ronaldo to appear in their event in Saudi Arabia later this year. Gab, does that mean that he would be like wrestling with John Cena and The Rock?
He looked pretty cool, though. He's got the body, you know. He'd be one of those high flyers, right? I mean, he'd be like Rey Mysterio Jr.
What would be his nickname? What would be his like wrestling name?
I don't know. You put me on the spot like a few minutes while I talk to you. But look, before we get excited, no, he's not going to be wrestling. I'm pretty sure this is one of those things that they do for publicity. Remember, Jose Mourinho did it when WWE came here in London. WWE, longstanding relationship with Saudi. I don't know if Cristiano's a wrestling fan at all. He doesn't strike me as somebody who'd be much of a mark, but who knows?
Exactly.
If he's asked to do it, they ask him nicely to do it, make it worth his while. It can be a fun night out. And, you know,
His kids might like it as well, you know, so it's a good day out.
Yeah, I'm imagining his kids to be little mini-me's who are really only into what Cristiano's into, but who knows? Maybe
who knows? That's right.
I don't know. I've never met his kids. Right. Jules, that brings us to an end. But we got to come back on Monday because this weekend
is Derby weekend.
Derby weekend was last weekend.
Oh, but there was one.
This weekend is North London Derby weekend.
Madrid Derby weekend.
Yeah.
Classic Derby weekend.
You know, Marseille PSG.
Yeah, still a classic. You know.
More pain in the south of France.
Who knows?
Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.